comes to ask me at the end of the day, Alan, what were you writing today? And I say, I'm afraid I don't know. I'll tell you tomorrow when I read it. And there are lots of sort of famous sayings. I don't know what I think until I write it down. You really don't know what you think until you write it down. So if you can be playful and creative, enjoy the writing, and learn these techniques, you will be much more productive. Most of the pattern of almost all academics' lives is they write three books. They write one book which is their PhD. They write one book which is a sort of sequel to their PhD about 20 years later. And then they write one book more or less at their retirement which is a sequel to the sequel of a PhD. Now, how is it that people who are fully paid to sit around and think and write can spend 40 years writing three books? If you follow these things and you are of an average intelligence, I had to do all this because I'm not particularly clever. I wasn't particularly good at school or university. So I had to use sensible techniques. If you do these, follow these things, you can write 20 or 30 books without too much strain, which is what I've done. But it takes a long time to learn how to do this. You're not taught it at the beginning, which is why I'm hopefully giving you some advice after a life of doing this. So I hope that didn't sound too conceited or self-centered, but it's things I've learned about the art of creative writing. I think at that point I'll have a break of a few minutes. While if you'd like to ask me any questions or make any comments, please do so. Any question? Have any of you written a long piece, longer than just an essay in your lives? The gentleman at the back has. Anyone else? Well, it's a pleasure because this gentleman is in the middle of it. And is meant to be here in Sichuan to write these two publishable pieces and to finish, no doubt, a book. You see, and now he'll just go away and do both those things very simply. Any questions, comments?
Just one question, just about writing.
Generally, people write per day, how much actually they get written, and whether there's some days where perhaps nothing is written, and how does that fit in the creative process? I remember in one of the interviews, I think it's with Clifford Geertz, and I think if I remember right, he says he probably only writes about a paragraph or two in a day. And that, to me, sounded phenomenal, considering he, as well, has published 10, 15, I don't know how many books. So I wonder if you could comment something on the process when actually, maybe some days, nothing to do.
Thank you. Yes, I remember that remark. I was a bit surprised, because if it takes him a day to write a paragraph, he's written, published about 20 books, each of which must have about 1,000 paragraphs. So that's 20,000 days, but I don't know how many years that is, it's 60 years. I suppose it's just about possible that there must have been days when he didn't even write a paragraph. I mean, there's a rather nice joke by some famous poet who said, when he was asked what he'd done, he said, I spent the whole afternoon taking out the comma that I put in the morning. So he was proceeding very slowly. Most creative writing courses will tell you you must write every day. You know, don't give up. The problem probably won't be that we won't write anything in a day. The thing which will normally happen is that you write something which is useless, or mostly useless, later you discover. It's very unlikely, if you follow what I've been suggesting, that if you sit quietly without too much pressure with a sheet of paper or a computer, that you will just end up the morning with nothing there. I think Geertz was, I suspect, from what I know of him, that he was exaggerating. And what he was trying to say was that writing is very difficult and sometimes, and that for him, as you know, it's very, very crafted. It's, you know, every word is carefully chosen there. And therefore, he would think about the structure of each word, what is the placing of each word, each sentence, each paragraph. And if you do it like that, you sometimes end up with this wonderful, some of his essays are really wonderful because you feel every word is in place, it's like a poem. It's been very, very carefully structured, very meticulous work, which you need for essay writing. Of course, essay writing is different. So for someone like that, there's another writer who I think is in some ways a better, even better writer than Goetz, and that's another American, Marshall Sullivan's. And his writing is both is more humorous than Goetz's and got more puns and jokes and so on. But I don't think he probably wrote his own books. I did interview him because I didn't talk about this. Because he talks like that as well. So probably it comes out in that way. Basically, one of the people who Goetz was a friend of was a colleague of mine called Keith Hart, who was a West Africanist. And he took this to an extreme in terms of lecturing. I asked Keith how he lectured. And he said, I don't even, before I walk into the lecture, I'm not even thinking about what the lecture is. I don't even know what the title is. So he comes and stands behind, and then he says to the audience, what am I lecturing about today? And they say, and then he lectures. The other person who could do this even better than Keith was a man who was my head of department and was a philosopher, a sociologist and anthropologist, one of the great thinkers of the late 20th century, a man called Ernest Gellner. And I remember an occasion when Ernest Gellner was giving a course on isms. So, evolutionism. So he came in to the second lecture in this course and said, he didn't have notes, he just threw it and said, so, this is my second lecture in the course on evolutionism, diffusionism, functionalism, structural functionalism, Marxism, post-Marxism, postmodernism. Someone in the audience said, sorry, Professor Gellner, that's tomorrow. Today you're giving your third lecture on Islam and politics. And he said, oh, just give me a minute. And he turned around. And after a minute, he turned around and gave him a perfect lecture, lecture three, on Islam and politics. And there's some people who can do that. But the best lecturers, like Keith, just talk from their heart and let that's how the writing should be too. Keith, I remember, also said, put in all the academic paraphernalia later. Unfortunately, if any of you become academics, you're going to have to write these unreadable books, which have hundreds of footnotes, lots of citations, quotations, brackets, appendices, statistics. Don't worry about those. Put them in later. Write the logic of the argument first, and then give the evidence and data to support it or disprove it later. If you do it the other way around, try and cram in all the facts first. It'll be very bitty and not have a very interesting flow.